Oh, such a good question.
Well, when you come up with these questions, that's another great branding question.
That's a big question.
That's a very interesting question because it really makes you think about what you just did.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
And welcome back to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This is Ben Baker coming at you. I have a treat for everybody. This week, we're talking to two of my favorite guys, my two mates coming to me from Australia. A few weeks ago, I had the pleasure to be on the Mojo Radio Show, and I had to return the favor because these guys, first of all, they were a pleasure to talk to. They were insightful. They were funny, and they were a lot of fun to be with. So, Robbo, Gary, welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show.
Thanks, man.
Now,
thanks, Ben.
Hey, listen, love having you guys here. And the fact that you guys are doing this is so early in the morning is an amazing thing for me. They're real troopers. These guys are up at 6 o'clock in the morning doing a radio show. So I got to give them kudos for that.
As long as there's coffee, mate, we're there. You know that.
Well, coffee, but there's probably beer in there as well.
That comes a little bit. That's about 10 o'clock.
Oh, well, okay. There we go. I didn't mean to rush you a little bit. But I wanted to talk to you guys about the show because I love what you guys have been doing. And you guys have been doing this for a long time now. And I wanted to talk to you guys about the show. What was the impetus of the show? You know, who's your audience and what makes you so valuable to them? Because you guys have built an incredible audience over the years.
Yeah, it's taken a lot of hard work. The show started with Gary coming to me and going, hey, I'm traveling a lot, listening to a lot of podcasts. There's a lot of not so good stuff out there. I reckon we could do something that's a bit different and a bit groundbreaking. So that was where it all started, wasn't it, Gaz?
Yeah, it's probably we weren't early into the podcast world. We sort of came in when the wave was beginning. The problem was that a lot of guys started shows were very narrow on their content. So after you'd listened for quite a while, they ran out of areas within their chosen topic to talk about. And also the production wasn't very good. And back in the day, before people started building their own studios and doing everything live, production wasn't very good. So the host would be really coming through clear. Then the guest would be on some crappy line. And it was just not well produced. It was just not great content. And there wasn't great consistency. And because we both used to work in radio here in Australia, I rang Robbo and said, look, you're a production guy. You can make it sound good and you can edit it properly. And we control quality of the sound, and if we get great guests, treat them as guests and make it about the guest, and we do a show around Mojo, which is in and out of work, it gives a lot of flexibility with topics, and we add value, then I think that's probably the new recipe for what we want to do, and that's how it all started.
So where do you guys define Mojo? Let's start there, because Mojo is one of those words that's been around forever. But it means different things to different people. So I want to know what it means to you guys.
Well, Gary, that one's for you, mate. You've been dealing in Mojo for decades.
The start of it, to your point, Ben, goes back to the shaman and voodoo and wizardry.
Exactly.
And it used to be the shaman would carry, which would be full of the herb of this and the bone of that and the little medicine. And if somebody was off or needed something special to make them feel better, they'd dip into their purple bag and pull out the Mojo. And today it's about that vitality or verb that some people or some leaders or some companies have. It's not based on skills or competencies. It's just about how they turn up. And Mojo can be anybody in any organization, any social group, any family. It's that person who just looks at things differently, turns up in a different way and approaches everything they do and the people they approach with extra verve or vitality. That's actually how Mojo is today. And team can have it and then lose it. People can have it and lose it. Social groups can have it and lose it. And our job is to help people if they haven't got it, how they find some. If they've got to keep it, if they've never had it, where is it?
Yeah, and that's important because you're right. It's not something that you can learn. Mojo is not something that you can learn. You either have it or you don't have it. You know, people are, it's like being a leader. You can learn to be a better leader, but if you don't have leadership qualities within you, if you don't care about other people, if you're not empathetic, if you're not a great listener, if you're not interested in making other people better, you know, if those aren't part of your natural DNA, you're never going to be a leader. You're never going to be a natural leader. Yeah, you can take courses, you can read books, but if you don't have that natural essence, being a leader of people becomes so much harder and almost impossible because it's all about the know, like, and trust. And I love that about the thought behind the Mojo Radio Show. It's dealing with the people out there, the movers, the shakers, the people that are doing something different. So what brought you to that impetus? I mean, what brought you to the place that said, you know what, well, these are our people, and how are we going to celebrate them? So what is the way that you do celebrate them?
I think there's a lot of shows now, Ben, where podcast world is changing a lot. I think there are a lot of podcasts now that the host wants to be as much as the star of the show as their guest. And Mojo Radio Show was built upon the great interviewers, Parkinson and Letterman, and in Australia, Andrew Denton, Dan Rather. It's the great interviewers where the interviewee is the star. And it's about extracting from them what are the commonalities in their leadership or their day-to-day rituals, routines, how they approach the world, how do they do it, and what are the commonalities across these people in all scopes of life to give them this extra something and the way they turn up. And it's really funny you should talk about leadership and how, yes, I agree, there is a certain nature part in leadership. But I think what we've discovered through the show is that by asking the right questions, there are some commonalities of leadership and high performance that we can draw parallel to in whatever field they play in that we can then take away and apply to ourselves, our team, and or our children, and or our families. And I think that's been the exciting part. And from day one, we were always about talking to a person who was probably in business either for themselves or within a group. We had in mind a certain person who wanted value from the show. They wanted people who wouldn't take themselves too seriously, but take the guests seriously, who if they gave their time to our show, then they would walk away with gold. I aim to do that now for 6 odd seasons, going into 7 seasons. And I have to say, I do think there are some certain standout commonalities we've discovered through that questioning process.
It's always a thread, isn't there? It's interesting. You talk to week after week, the people we talk to are so varied in what they actually do and how they actually do it. But there's always thread. And that's one of Gary's talents as an interviewer, is he picks up on these threads. And you can go back 5 or 6 episodes from where we are, and you can follow this thread of this theme that runs through all these amazing people. And that's been the biggest revelation for me, I guess, as someone who hasn't sort of worked in this side of what we do regularly. It is quite interesting how these threads sort of weave their way through these people's lives. They all seem to have these similar sort of traits and way of doing things and way of looking at things.
So what are a couple of these commonalities that you guys are seeing?
I would say if you were looking at the commonalities, then probably if you talk specifically leadership and leadership of self, leadership of family, community group, company, organization, brand. Humility would absolutely be a primary standout, whether it be one of the most successful sporting teams in the world, the All Blacks from New Zealand, right through to the great military leaders we've spoken to, company leaders. I think humility and being of service to others, truly being of service to others, and asking the question about, you know, who can I help? Who can I serve better? Resilience probably has been the show. If we do a show around resilience, grit, bouncing back, dealing with troubles, I reckon that's probably one of our most downloaded shows around resilience and grit. Taking the time to be curious and thinking is, you find a big commonality is people take the time to think, do deep work, they journal, they disconnect, And I think sitting under all that is that they are very, very clear on their identity of who they are. And their identity is not just wrapped up in being a business person, but their identity is wrapped up in who they really are and the key responsibilities in their world around their children, the community, family, giving back, taking time to think, pondering the future, pondering the what ifs. So I think they're the threads that have sat underneath the show around identity, curiosity, resilience, certainly humility, being of service, regardless of whether it's first responders, whether it's somebody leading small business, whether it just be someone who's a wonderful author who's putting their message out to the world. Definitely they're the things that have been the common thread.
And I think that that's interesting because those are the true characteristics to me that make people interesting. The people that are humble, the people that care about others, the people who want to listen about others, the people that are worried about more than themselves and the greater good, those tend to be the people that are the true leaders in the world. Those tend to be the people that are the ones that people want to follow, the people that excite other people. And it's the fact that you guys can get the most out of those people was amazing. When I was on your show, I felt it was a conversation. It was purely a conversation, and I love that. I love the fact that you guys had some information about me, but more than anything, you guys listened, and you guys were interested. And I love the fact that you guys do that in the show, and I think that that is probably what makes your show so successful. As you said, it's not about the host. It's about the guest. So when you guys are looking for your guests, because I'm sure at this point in time, you guys can be as picky as you want about who you're going to pick and who you're not going to pick. What are the key characteristics you're looking for when you're looking for a guest that make them someone that you think is not only going to be interesting in front of the mic, but it's going to be valuable to your audience?
It's funny, if I can prequel this, I'm sure Gary will have a separate answer. And Gary does most of the guest sort of recruitment, I guess, for want of a better word. For the ones that I've thrown into the mix, and one comes to mind straight away, we had a guy on called Noel Razor-Smith. He's a UK resident who's spent decades in jail. But his story was that, you know, he basically turned his life around and got out of prison. But what inspired me to sort of write Gary an email and go, hey, we should talk about getting this guy on the show, was just that story, just that inspirational story of, hey, he's a hardened robber who's turned his life around and got himself out of prison. And not only that, become a celebrated author and journalist. So sometimes it's just the story. But for Gary, I mean, Gary sees other qualities that I don't. I sort of look at some of Gary's guests sometimes and go, but then we finish recording and I go, wow, that was awesome. So I'm sure he has his own process.
Gary?
Yeah, I don't know that it's always about the story. I think you can hear a great story and go, well, that entertained me for 40 minutes, but that's all fine for them. What do I do? And I think I listen to probably 16 to 20 hours of podcasts a week.
Wow.
I obviously doing research for our show, listening to your stuff when you come on the show. And then the other part is finding information for myself that I can use, but also I approach it like an investigative journalist where I am listening to somebody else, the interview techniques, and also what information this person is sharing. And we've got a guy coming up soon on the show who I heard on the show. And what I listen for is, what are you talking to? How does that relate back to our target audience? And can they get gold from that? What has he talked about, but what hasn't he talked about that I know he could talk about that would add value to a person in their own world, in and out of work, to help them be better? So the whole idea is to listen to people with not just learning for yourself, but also a curious mind to go, what is he or she saying? What are they not saying that they could say? And will that add value to Ben as a listener to make you better in and out of work to improve your world? And there has to be tangible takeaways or insights. And the worst thing is when you have a Ben Baker come on the show and all you're already talking about is what you've done in 10 other shows. And that's not going to cut it for us. And I think that's the difference between a lady called Preetha G, who was seemed to be today's modern day philosopher, female modern day philosopher, runs O&O Academy in India with her husband, Krishna G. And we talked about this, Ben, and she said, too many people are doing and not being. And I think for me, we never want to do a podcast. We want it to be great podcasters. And to do that, you have to have best production. You have to make it sound great. You have to make it interesting as a sound. You have to have the best guests. And you've got to draw out of them stuff that they haven't talked about. Even in a lot of cases, we find stuff they haven't even thought about before. But you've been given a little cue somewhere in what they've talked about or written. And then you just prod at that and you take them on a journey. And that's, to me, the art of the interview. And it's one of the things that I've taken from Preetha G is I never wanted to do a podcast. I didn't want to be it's another number. I wanted to be a great podcaster with a great podcast show. So yes, it's about a story, but you've got to go beyond that to there are many people who've told that story in 20 podcasts. I mean, we've interviewed people who've done 1,000 podcasts. Susie Quattro. She's done probably 100,000 interviews, but we found an area that she'd never talked about before. And to me, it's taking the time to think and journal and go, well, what's she saying? What do I want to know? What hasn't she said before? That will add value to Ben's world.
Gary's not giving himself full credit here because the bit he's talking about with Susie Quattro wasn't just something she hadn't been interviewed about before. Gary found a topic that she'd actually never even thought about.
Wow.
Yeah, that she'd never even thought about before. So credit where credit's due. Gary does pick some great questions.
Now, and we're going to go into this, is because you're right. Getting the most out of your guest is critical for any great podcaster. And I love the fact that you don't want to do a great podcast. You want to be a great podcaster. You want to be a great interviewer. You want to bring insight to your audience. How do you prepare? I mean, I know that you listen to a lot of podcasts. But when you're getting ready to have somebody on your show, what are the things that you do to sit there and say, you know what? What can I do to find something on this person that's just going to be that breath of fresh air? Because it's tough. It's tough because you're right. There's a lot of people that do podcasts that talk about the same thing over and over again. And what are the things that you look for and you listen for to be able to be that little bit different and to take the conversation in a different way?
Our show also, production-wise, has an element of rock and roll about it. We do take a lot of lessons from rock. And I think one of the keys for me is I listen, watch, and read everything that someone's done. But then I think I also take a cue from Elton John and Bernie, is that Bernie will hand Elton John lyrics, said, if can't write a song in 30 minutes, I close the piano, I walk away, I won't try and draw blood from a stone. And I think the thing for me is I'll start prepping a show a couple of weeks out. And we've got one that we're recording actually tomorrow morning, which is a topic completely out of my wheelhouse. And I have listened to these girls now for the last couple of weeks, and I listen to them. I write notes and journal notes. I start to get together my list of questions, and then I close the computer and go away and forget about it for a few days. Then I go back and I do some more. And then once I've done all that, then I go back and say, now, what haven't I thought about? If I was listening to these people talk, what would I want to know if I was in the circumstance with their upbringing, how they do things, the brand they built? I'm sitting in an audience watching them. It's what they're good at that they haven't talked about. But then stepping away and going, if you really put your mind to thinking about it, what do I want to know that they've never talked about before, but I know they're experts in, or it's an area they've been through that can add value to whoever the target audience is for the show? So it actually is a process, but I think the problem today, Ben, is that we don't listen. And if we are listening, we're not hearing what's being said. We look, but we don't see what's going on. And we don't take the time to really think to get beyond the covers into what's really going underneath there, that will add value to your target audience as a listener. And that's what Dan Rather and Letterman and all these great interviewers, Parkinson, do, is they don't rush it and they're prepared to listen. And we have, yes, there's stuff I want to talk to you about and get draw from you, but I'm also allowing you to
provoke our thinking to go to places that we haven't prepared for, but we've uncovered with you. So we can take off ramps and then ideally take Ben on a journey through the interview where we can go to places we've thought about, pondered, but then also stuff that can randomly come up because you say something interesting. And I think that's people like Jordan Harbinger and these sorts of guys who are the great interviewers on podcasts. That's what they're really, really good at.
And I agree with you because when I do my show, I'll walk in and I'll do my due diligence and I'll look through it, but I don't want to have an overly prepared show. I want to have a certain few questions that I have on the top of my head and a direction that I'm thinking of. But for the most part, I want to listen. I want to ask questions. I want to listen and I want to see where that conversation is going to take us. And I think that you guys have that really conversational style where you allow people to feel comfortable enough that the magic just happens. And that's a skill that goes way beyond interviewing. That's a skill of life. That's a skill of business. That's a skill of anything. And I want to find out from you guys, when you guys are doing that, when you're in the moment, when you're part of the interview, and somebody says something completely unexpected, how do you make them feel that that is the most important thing at the moment and move it in that direction? Because sometimes it throws your entire interview off. By doing that, it creates magic.
It's actually, I think over 6 seasons, I think every interviewer has got their own process.
Yep.
But I've always got two pads in front of me, one big pad and one a small pad. The small pad I capture all the gold in. So when you drop gold, like one of the bits you said was a great question to always ask yourself is, what am I missing? And that's gold. So that goes into my gold journal. So I keep that separately. Then I've got a big pad, which is for scrawls. So although I know where I'm going with an interview, I'm also writing down cues of things you've said that I find fascinating. And then I think the work then is to work out, if I'm a listener, am I on the journey? And what off-ramps can I take at the right time that makes sense to capitalize on without losing the complete flow of the show? So sometimes if you drop a great piece of gold on the show, it may not be appropriate at that moment because you're in flow. But I'll write down what you said to then have a feeling of, now's a good time to go back to earlier in the show, Ben, you said. And to keep flow, because it may not be good at that time, but it may get to a point where something that Robert and I talked about just the other day we were recording was a piece of gold that Laura Gassner-Oting, who was on the show this week, and she used to work at the White House in the Clinton administration, wrote a terrific book called Limitless. And she said when she's working with her clients, people she works with face-to-face, she said, and to her children, she's always saying to herself, it's such an honor to hear your story. And I think that today when you are interviewing somebody, and or being interviewed like you are, I think the best thing we can do is to honor you, to say it's a privilege being, if anyone's giving their time to interview you, let alone listen, then we should honor that. And I think a lot of podcasters don't honor the listener and take it for granted. And Robert and I, coming out of the radio industry, we've seen a lot of jock jocks who talk for the sake of talking. And we want to value every word. In the process, how do you make them feel right? It's knowing that you are listening and you do honor them and you are taking notes of things they're saying to build the flow, but at the same time is having your own process for capturing the right information, the right questions at the right time to take not only the person being interviewed on the journey, because you've got to set it up and take them on a journey, but also the listener so they can stay with you, not get bored, zone out and turn off.
Well, that's got to be the base though, doesn't it? That's got to be your starting point, is the listener. Story.
Absolutely. Always. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's right. You know, if you don't start with the listener and think, where am I taking them, then you're losing from the beginning.
And it's funny, Ben, we had a letter come in from a listener not long ago, and he said, we did a show on email and controlling him. And he said, I saw the heading and went, actually, these guys would have done the work. They wouldn't have this person on there unless it was worthwhile. I'll give it a crack. And the last line of his letter was, that show changed my life because it suddenly freed up this person to be able to control the input and outputs from their inbox. And it was only because they trust us to put a show together where we respect their time, knowing if you're going to listen to us as a listener, we're going to give you some gold and we're going to work really hard to extract the gold from a cracking guest, and we honor the guest and we honor the listener. So I think somewhere in there, and then behind that, you've got to have your process for, well, how do you build that flow so that you do respect them? That is the old radio days of building a breakfast show. It's actually building a proper radio show that people get on at 6 in the morning, and when they leave you at 9 o'clock and get to work, they feel good about their day and they've got a smile on their face.
Yeah, because for me, I agree with you. It's all about the audience. It's important that your guest feels comfortable. It's important that your guest feels welcome and they feel taken care of. But in the end, it's the audience that are with you week in and week out. And if they don't feel that you know, like, and trust them, and they don't feel that they can know, like, and trust you, they're going to go find somewhere else. They want to see, is this show valuable to me? Week after week, are they providing me with something that makes me go, And that's a real challenge. And it comes back to the question I asked about finding your guests. Because when you're thinking about your guests, you need to be thinking about, is this person right for my audience? Is this person going to add value to my audience? Is this going to add value to the show in general? And is it going to move the needle? So we need to think, and this is for Rob and the offer thing, is that what do you think is the number one thing that makes your guests trust, or your audience trust you and come back week in and week out?
It's probably not one thing, Ben. I think the first, it's really interesting when you say finding guests. I would get a book a week sent to me or offered to me of a guest to come on the show. And I would say we probably take 2 out of 10, 3 out of 10, and I read them all. And I think the first part is scrutiny, is you have to scrutinize all you hear, all you read, all you watch. The scrutinizer to say, am I getting value out of this, or is this more of the same old, same old? And we've had people on leadership and wellness, no matter what it is, we've had it on. And I read the book and go, there is nothing in here that Ben hasn't heard before. There is another 1,000 books on leadership to say exactly this. All you've done is cobbled together a bunch of stories from other people's work, put into a book, and they use it as a business card on steroids to promote your speaking career. Or anything else is scrutiny, is to say, do we get value from this? Will this add value to our world? Will it get our mojo working? Can we build a great show? And can this person provide Ben with a thought-provoking piece of gold that can make your day better in or out of work? So the absolute starting point, and we've got shows which will probably never see the light of day because they just know that in the grand scheme of things, with specs from us, they just won't stack up because there's no opinion. There's no new direction. There's nothing folk, a new way of thinking to make somebody better. They can't get in 100 other places.
There's a folder in my workstation that if you're an interviewee, you don't want to end up in because you usually don't find your way out of there again, unfortunately.
And what is that folder all about?
They're the interviews that Gary's referring to that sort of probably fell a bit short of the mark and didn't really go anywhere. They're there for a rainy day if we need them. There's some that have been there for a couple of years now, probably, if not longer.
Well, I'm honored that I didn't end up in that list. So
you're a long way from that list, mate. A long way from that list. Let me tell you, don't worry.
By the way, before I forget, shout out to Stan Peak for introducing us. Shout out to Stan Peak. It's amazing how this world works and being able to have people be introduced to everybody else and how small the world becomes when we all connect. So here I had that shout out before we signed off.
We affectionately know him over here as the Peakinator, and he is also another interview who was a long, long way from that aforementioned folder. Absolutely.
So before we sign off, I have one last question that I ask every single guest, and I'm going to get it from both of you guys, is when the interview is over or you leave the room or you walk out the door, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not there to defend yourself?
Oh, Gary, there's a good one for you.
I think we've already touched on it. And I think the essence of the show is that these guys will make my world better in or out of work, and I can trust them to give me gold. I mean, I think that's the whole thing. I take it very, very personally with the show we put out in every respect, whether it be production, the editing, style, questions, what we put out into the ether. Whatever we put out there is
if they were talking about us behind their back, and I hope they do, is that when these guys put the work in, put the time in, and if they put something out there, it's going to add value to my world and make me feel better and give me tools that I can use to make other people feel better. And that's one thing with Mojo. It's not just you quite often. It's then having the tools. I've had loads of letters and calls from people where they've gone to people who've lost their mojo and they've been able to take stuff that our guests have shared that they can then be of service to others to help them get their mojo working, whether it be one of their kids or their partner or somebody at work. That's mojo work, is be of service to others to say, look, we've got killer guests with great content, great insights, and it's usable, practical stuff. If they were talking about us behind our back, it's a fun show. It's got a bit of rock and roll, but we always get something that we can execute upon.
Yeah, for me, it changes. But for me, recently, we in the CEO of a number of Australian rules football clubs out here. You've correct me if I'm wrong, Gary. I think his first CEO role, he was the youngest CEO ever been in the AFL. Campbell to the show when we were just having a bit of a chat before we started recording. One of his comments was, look, I pick up the show on the bus on the way to work of a Monday morning now, and I don't even look at the title. I just turn the show on. So for me, to have someone of that to our show and trusts us so much that he doesn't even bother to take a look at the title of the show, he just turns it on knowing that he's going to get something out of it. Walking out of the room after an interview or after finishing a show like I did last night, my question to myself, sort of turn around and say to his mates at work when he gets to work on Monday morning after listening to us on the bus, what's he going to say about that show? So that's sort of my benchmark.
Well, I want to say that you guys, you were wonderful to be interviewed by, and I'm honored to call you guys friends. So thank you very much for being on the show. You guys are on my Spotify list. As I say, it just comes up. I just listen to it. Keep doing what you're doing. And thank you for putting out such incredible stuff week after week after week. How do people get in touch with you guys in case people are looking?
Because we're all radio guys, like commercial radio guys.
Yeah.
Isn't it just amazing now how this new medium of podcasts allows people to hook up? Because back in the day, and a lot of people Stan's introduced us to, because you can do it long form and you can spend 40 minutes or an hour, sometimes an hour, 10 with some of the guests we've had on, is each other. And then you almost become mates from across the Pacific. So when you come to Australia, we'll catch up for a brew, whatever that may be.
Here's something, let me put this to you, because I don't think Gary and I had sort of spawned this idea when we spoke to you. We're actually going to start doing some outside broadcasts. So we actually want to take a few international guests when they're here and record a podcast. So I reckon we could take that a step further. I actually think we could do a dual podcast record. We could record for your show and ours. Sitting on Bondi Beach, having a beer and some fish and chips. I reckon that.
I think we could have a lot of fun with that.
This has been the Your Living Brand Live Show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.com and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level, contact us for a free 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you for listening and sharing. And tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?